Normally at this time, we'd be listening to some talk back from our students and from just general listeners. And this week, we are without audio communication.
Our camps, I think, are winding down.
Yep.
School has not yet started, so we're kind of in that in-between, even though there's lots happening out there.
Right. Well, I've gotten a few emails that I'd like to read, including this one that comes from Kathleen. And she says, thought you might enjoy last week's foraging fun. We were having steaks and corn on the cob for dinner. My cabin yard is filled with small and tiny puffball mushrooms. I did a bit of harvesting and cleaning. We fried them up with some onions and garlic. What a great meal accompaniment. Earlier this summer, we sautéed them up in scrambled eggs for breakfast. Alas, this may be my last harvest, as I can see the maple leaves are starting to turn red. And that from our friend Kathleen. And Kathleen, there are some maple leaves that are starting to turn red right now. And, it's a, what would you call it, a sort of a bell curve. There are those that start early, and then there are those that start on average, which would be mid to late September. And then there are those that won't even start until early October. And I'm not sure if those are the F maple trees or the A maple trees, but on the bell curve, they're at one end or the other. So I guess it's
I thought that was like an official name of maple trees. I was like, oh, I've never heard
of in school there was always the curve, you know, and there was like the A students, and then it started climbing in B's, and then up at the top were the C's, and then came down the D's, and then at the bottom were the F's, and I won't tell you where on that scale that I landed, but let's just say it wasn't a long fall from where I was to the line.
Yeah. Well, it's nice they don't all go at once, I think.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. Yeah. Kind of. And the first ones, it's kind of fun because, you know, they're like the first ones in here. I've got a couple of them. There's one on the River Road that I admire that's turning, and there's one out at Sugar Lake Lodge that's turning. And so here and there, they're, you know, it's like, hey, if you want to call attention to yourself, what better way? I got this note from Phil, and Phil lives down in Hill City. And let's see, he says, hi, John. Thanks for your years of dedication to phenology and all of the students and people's lives you have touched with your stories and educational approach. We have always had pileated woodpeckers near our house. This summer, the parents and the youngsters are regular visitors to our feeders and suet paddle. And he sent along a picture, and the picture, I can't do it justice, but imagine a sort of an 8 foot high snag. So there's this tree stump there that's like 8 feet high, and he's got his suet feeders stuck on that. And as far as a natural perch for woodpeckers, it is absolutely gorgeous. If I were a woodpecker, I would want to come there and eat. Thanks, Phil. What a nice note and a lovely picture. Phil's down in Hill City, and we're always happy to hear from folks like that. His woodpecker feeder is one for the ages. I would definitely like to have that sort of a feeder at my house. The blue jays at my house have discovered that suet is really good. And the blue jays come in six or seven at a time, and they take turns fighting with one another over who gets to eat the suet. I think that they ought to like leave the suet for the woodpeckers, because they're perfectly happy to eat the seeds. And in a week or so, they're going to have plenty of acorns to hide.
Yeah.
So I think they should just, you know, let the suet be for the woodpeckers. It doesn't seem right. And another friend of mine, a fellow named Dave Lorenz, sent this along. He said, let's see, finally saw my last Baltimore Oriole on Thursday. Only chickadees and bees since then. Dave has had Orioles coming to his feeder all summer and had remarked about a week ago that he thought maybe the Orioles, because they hadn't come that particular day, thought that they might have left. And this is, in fact, the time of year when the Orioles begin to move out. Same for the rose-breasted grosbeaks. And I still have a few rose-breasted grosbeaks at my house, but more juveniles than adults. And those guys have already begun to migrate. So like the early maples, some of these birds, like orioles and grosbeaks, have begun to slide out of the area. So it is, in fact, it's past the midpoint of August. And so by my reckoning, I have about a month left of swimming outside.
We got a text from Bill in Wabana. He says, good morning. Two maple trees here, one by the lake and one on high ground, that have both have leaves that have turned quite red. Also a pair of fawns who have almost lost their spots, just barely discernible. In addition, one of the fawns is roughly 25% bigger than the other fawn, suggesting a buck and a doe fawn.
Very nice.
Interesting observation, yet.
I had a conversation with a couple of folks yesterday about fawn, about deer. And they had seen two does that had twins. I have not seen a doe with twins at my house. Mostly the does that I'm seeing have a single. And I don't know, you know, the last couple of winters haven't been that tough. So I would have thought that the deer would have responded pretty well, but apparently, at least not around my house. But these folks I was talking to are only about a mile from my house, and they had seen two does with twin fawns, and that's encouraging. Nice to know that there are some does that are producing average numbers of offspring. I think I read several years ago that the average number of fawns produced by does, by white-tailed deer, is greater than two. Like the number is like 2.3 or something like that. I'm sure somebody out there probably knows the exact number. Let us know. But more than two. So twins are common, and triplets are not out of the realm, and so it's kind of interesting to think that their reproductive success can be that great. We'll let you know. I'm sure many of you are probably getting ready. We're a month away from deer season, actually, archery and grouse and early duck season. So there are a lot of hunting seasons that are about to be upon us, and many of you are probably anticipating that, getting out and getting your equipment together and getting it ready, getting your dog trained, and making time for a little extra time in the woods. And there's nothing wrong with that. I encourage everybody to get out in the woods at any time for any reason, unless it's like poaching. Don't do that. Yeah.
We heard from Lisa in Balsam Township. She said the fog is so dense here on Sand Lake, I cannot see the other side.
Ooh.
Some of the dogwoods are turning a lovely shade of purple red.
Oh, yeah, probably the large leafed. I have a pagoda dogwood in my yard that is turning. A couple of the branches have begun to turn color there, and I think that they may be dying. Not the whole plant, but that particular branch. And it's always fun to look at the dogwoods, all of them. If you're outside and you come across what you suspect is a dogwood, if you carefully tear the leaf in half, along the short axis, the two halves will cling together because the veins are kind of thready, and they hang these little tiny, almost spiderweb-like threads that hold the two halves of the leaf together. And that's how you know it's dogwood, because no other plant that I know of actually behaves like that. And so you can have round-leaf dogwood, which have great big leaves. This time of year, the round-leaf dogwoods are going to have clusters of berries that at probably now are going to be sky blue, but they will get darker as the season goes along. My pagoda dogwood's berries were ripe probably last week, and the birds have really wiped them out, really. I mean, from hundreds of berries on the bush to two dozen or so, just one or two here and there that are left behind. The structure that they grow on and on the pagoda dogwood is red. So they're quite beautiful because the leaves are dark, dark green. Those that are not yet turning color. And they make for a lovely contrast. It's just really a beautiful situation to check those out. So get outside. Everything I read and everything I understand about, education and physical health, mental health is all improved if you get outside. So go outside and take in the sights and sounds, and then send us a note and let us know what's happening in your neighborhood. We'd love to hear from you.